Well, good morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you this morning. Glad to see each one here. And we've got a few visitors with us this morning. We're especially glad to see you. We're glad that you've come our way. Sometimes when I am walking up into this pulpit, I am reminded that there are pulpits similar to it in church buildings all around the world. Well, I know that there's some variety in pulpits, that would be. Different shapes, different sizes, they look a little bit different. But what's most interesting to me is the message that's coming from those pulpits. And you know, there's a lot of variety there too. There's a lot of differences in the type of messages that's being taught one church to another. You know, in years past, it seems that there was more who claimed an allegiance to what they believed and practiced in religion based on the consistency of the message that was being heard. But those days are changing. Doctrines are changing. And it is becoming more and more common for churches to change or adjust the principles on which that church stands. Adjustments that often are changed because of the changes in society. The things that society is saying and the views that society may take. And so in our day, it's becoming more difficult to know what certain religions stand for, or what they do or what they do not believe, because those doctrines just seem to be ever-changing. Changes that have become so frequent and so significant in some cases that even the adherents don't even know what their church stands for anymore. In fact, I have heard some say, "My church has left me." Well, what do I mean by that? That's kind of a peculiar thing to say in some ways. Are they trying to say that someone has come along and picked up the physical building and moved it to someplace else? Well, no, that's not what they're talking about at all. But what they're saying is the principles on which their church had once stood have changed. Sometimes in dramatic ways, so much so that even those who are once members there don't even know what their church stands for anymore. And we can understand the confusion, can't we? I mean, when doctrines change, people are left wondering just what they should believe. Well, there is an answer for that problem. When doctrines change, people are left wondering, but the doctrines don't have to change, or at least I know of one that does not change. We can find hope in the consistency of God's Word. You know, we live in a world where it just seems like everything around us is changing. And it's reassuring, at least it is to me, to find something that is consistent, something that's not always moving. And when we slow down enough to give full consideration to the things that God has to say, we find reliability. We find steadfastness. We find stability, spiritual stability that is there to guide us and to be used in our life. And the greatest form of consistency that we can experience is that which is established in the foundation of God's Word. Solid foundations are very crucial. We understand that. I mean, Jesus spoke about that very matter in Matthew chapter 7. You might take your Bibles and be turning that way, Matthew chapter 7. We read a passage here. It's something that most of us will be familiar with. In fact, many of us have taught our children that song. You know, the one about the wise man builds his house on the rock. Sandra and I have taken some special interest and pride lately as 2-year-old Kinley, our granddaughter, is learning how to sing that song. And it sounds so wonderful to hear that little 2-year-old singing that. And so most of us have spent some time trying to teach our children that, but we may be the ones that are missing the point. Jesus is teaching a point and a lesson, not just for children, but for those of us who are much older. And the principle that he's teaching is not so hard for us to really get a hold of. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. Well, the point of the message, it's not so hard. It's pretty simple, really. If we build a house without a good foundation, it's destined to fall. You know, most of us have seen some pretty tall buildings. I'm not really talking about the ones in Asheville. There's some there kind of tall, but no, I'm talking about really tall, like in Chicago or New York City. You know those skyscrapers that go 100 stories up or maybe more, where even if you're standing a block away and you try to look all the way to the top, it's almost dizzying to get a view of the top. Now that's tall. And it's a marvel to me at how a building like that can stand and can withstand the rain and the wind and the elements that come against it. And yes, and yet we know and we understand that the steel beams that hold those structures upright go far into the bedrock of the earth. They're grounded in rock, and they're stable, and they're strong. But of course, now, there's a spiritual application to be made here. I mean, what Jesus was talking about in this text in Matthew chapter 7, you know, when he talked about the wise man and the foolish man, really he's making some application to the points he made previous. And so we go back to chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus taught his disciples about the need of doing the will of the Father. And the lesson of the wise man and the foolish man is an illustration of what he just said. That we're going to have to be wise. We're going to have to listen to the will of God. If we are going to be the building that stands, so to speak, then we have to be on a foundation that's as solid as a rock. And that foundation is found in the Lord, and there's no other source that we can go to. But that foundation is found in the Lord. Jesus knew that many stood on a foundation that was not secured by the will of God, is how he says it in this text. Religious people, no doubt, but people who had followed the ways and the ideas of man and not the will of God. Their spiritual footing was not firm. It was not made steadfast by the will of God. But there is another way. God says so. Build on a solid spiritual foundation. You know, in a world where everything seems to be changing, even doctrines that churches once stood on, it is refreshing to know that the Lord has not changed. Jesus is consistent. And everything that he did and every word that he spoke, his word is never changing. The Hebrew writer said of Jesus, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. And we can be sure that we have built on a strong spiritual house if our foundation is in Jesus Christ. Let's look at another passage. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul makes an interesting point here about preaching that's being done and about even who's doing the preaching. But it's not so much about who's doing the preaching, it's about what is being taught. That's the point he's trying to emphasize. 1 Corinthians 3, we begin reading at verse 6. And he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are fellow workers. You are the Lord's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know, without a question, without doubt, a true spiritual building must be built on one source. And it comes from one source, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who is the foundation on which we must build. And it's already proven. He is already proven. He is solid. He is just. He is the cornerstone from which the household of God is built. There's another passage similar that stands out to me in Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like you to look with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, it's the Apostle Paul who's writing. He's writing to those who are Christians, and it's almost as though he's trying to remind them long ago and trying to remind us upon whom we must stand. Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Well, it's an amazing thought now, that we can be fellow citizens of the household of God. Interesting verbiage that comes from Scripture, defining, and it's descriptive even, about our relationship with God. Oh, our relationship with one another, sure. But our relationship with God, and Jesus Christ being that chief cornerstone of what would be his house, so to speak. You see, if we want to be a part of that church that Jesus built, if we want to have that kind of fellowship with God, the source becomes pretty simple to see. That is Jesus Christ. He is that rock. He is the source of the cornerstone of the building, the foundation that's built from there that builds up that holy temple of God, as the text would say. Now that's impressive to me, that we would become such as that. A habitation of God, or that grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's a powerful statement, a very strong statement. You know, Peter would say something about this later on, the Apostle Peter, a very similar type statement. You know, this holy temple in the Lord, or as Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 2, that as living stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know who he's speaking of, don't you? He's speaking of those saints, those of like precious faith, those who are Christians just like us. And this is a description of our spiritual relationship, one with another and with God. Living stones, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. The love of God is demonstrated to us time and again, but most specifically and most powerfully by the sacrifice of his Son on our behalf. And he is a sure foundation. And we can have confidence in our relationship with God if we build our faith on him. And this becomes the imperative. This becomes the point that we have to understand and take hold of. That if we want a relationship with God, then we have to belong to the church that Jesus built. If we want to belong to God, our faith must be built on him through Jesus Christ. Think about this very important point, if we build on him. And it's a fair question for us to ask ourselves, in what or in whom is our faith? Because people have faith in a lot of different things. They have faith in different beliefs and different doctrines. And yet as we go through the pages of Scripture, we find over and again that truth faith comes from the will of God. We find that we can be religious people and yet still be lost. That it's only those who do the will of God that are recognized by him. It's those who do the will of God by following his will that have a fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And let's understand that the ideas of men are ever changing. But faith that is built solely on God's word is a rock. And it's not changing. God's word provides a spiritual foundation that does not move. God's word does not change. And the principles and precepts on which God stands are the same now as they have always been. And as we need to understand, the faithful in the eyes of God, and there's a point of emphasis there, the faithful in the eyes of God are those who are willing to hear his word and to submit to it. Jesus said something about that. Would you go with me to John chapter 8? John chapter 8, in the text, Jesus is speaking to some who already believed in him. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You see, discipleship comes from one source, the word of God. And it's learned from only one source. Let's understand. When someone tries to teach us something about God, and the source of their teaching is not from the Word of God, it can't be right. There's no way it can be right. Because the source of a relationship with God is that which comes from His Word and from nowhere else. And for God's Word to have its effect, there must be a willingness to hear it. There has to be a willingness to obey it and submit to it. And the pattern of willingness in our lives to follow its precepts. Many others have done so. And as we turn through the pages of Scripture, we can see through history that there have been many who in fact have been willing to follow God. In Acts chapter 2, we think about the 3,000 that were baptized in one day, those who had heard the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ and submitted to that, repented of their sins, were baptized in fact for remission of sins. In Acts chapter 8, it was the Ethiopian who was riding his chariot along the road, and Philip the evangelist sent to him, who preached to him the word of God. And from that teaching, he as well believed and accepted that and wanted to obey. "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he says, "I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And together they went into the water and he was baptized. You see, there have been many who have followed that word and who have done just as the will of God has said and suggested. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church at Thessalonica, said this about that church. He said, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. The effectiveness of the power of God is seen in these brethren long ago. And even now we are still impressed at the power of God's word and how it changes men, how it has such great power that it affects the way we think. And if we are humble of heart and willing to take and listen and accept the will of God, God's word can move us. It will change us. It will mold us. True faith in Jesus Christ demands that we are willing to follow his word and accept nothing else. And that word is never changing. And the church that baptized believers were added to long ago still exists by the same doctrine delivered by the Lord. And salvation today comes by the same means as it did then. Preaching of the word of God that convicts hearts to repentance. Nothing more, nothing less. And it's reasonable for us to ask, are you a part of that church? Because like we said, there are pulpits like this one, or church buildings around the world. Now, pulpits look a little different one to another. They vary in size and design. But more significantly, the message that is being preached is so very different in one church to another. But we're trying to identify the church that Jesus built. We are trying to understand and identify the doctrine that he delivered. We are trying to understand what it is to do the will of God. And that isn't changing. Doctrines of men change from time to time, and sometimes in significant ways. But the Word of God is solid, is steadfast. There's stability because it's built on a rock. And Jesus Christ is the King of His church and His kingdom. And He is not changing. And so again, it's right and fair to ask the question, are you a part of that church? The church that Jesus built. The church that we read about in the Bible. A church that is built on the foundation of God's Word. A church that is not changing. A church that is standing on the same principles that the Lord delivered 2,000 years ago. Are you a part of that church? Eternal life depends on submission to His will. And what it always comes down to in the case of every one of us is a willingness on our part. And it's fair again to ask, are you ready to submit to God? Are you willing to submit to His will? Are you willing to give yourself to Him? Because to do so means that we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny the doctrines that come from the hands of men. And we have to be willing to take simply what He has delivered to us in His Word. Are you willing to do just that? If you are, would you bring yourself to God? Would you deliver yourself to Him in submission to His Word? Would you, as we stand and sing to Him?